Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 29. And while you're turning there, I read a word from Paul in Romans 15. Whatsoever things were written aforetime in the Old Testament, whatsoever things were written for our learning. We read the Old Testament, we learn from the Old Testament. Written for our learning that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I want to talk to you this morning a few minutes about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. In the Scriptures, the children of God are called seekers after God, those who seek the Lord. And in the Scriptures, the children of God are called callers upon God, those who call upon the Lord. God's people seek Him continually, they call upon Him. And God's people in the Scripture are described as those who fear the Lord. Those who fear the Lord. That's why they seek Him. That's why they call upon Him. They fear the Lord. The Bible says several times that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. I don't care how religious we may be. We haven't learned the fear of the Lord. We don't know anything. Not as we ought to know it. The man who does not fear the Lord is void, void of true wisdom and understanding. Has no fear of God. He has no fear and reverence for his Creator, his Sustainer, no fear. His Benefactor, no fear. His Holy Judge, no fear. And the only Savior, no fear. The one in whose hand he lives and moves, no fear. The one who, of his own will, gives us all that we have, all that we live upon, all that we enjoy. And he can take it away in a moment. No fear. No fear. The one to whom we are accountable. I mean stand before in judgment. The one to whom we are accountable for every moment of time that we've been in this world. Every blessing and gift that we've enjoyed in this world. That includes from the shoes on our feet to the house we live in. And the job where we bring home sufficiency. We are stewards of our time. We are stewards of all that God's given us. I'm saying by that we are responsible and accountable unto God for every minute of time we live in this world. He's going to bring us into judgment. And there's not men don't fear God. Turn to Ecclesiastes just a moment. The last chapter and the last two verses. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is it in a nutshell. Fear God. Keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. We're put here to glorify God. We're put here to honor and praise God with thanksgiving. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be bad. Fear God. And yet, men don't fear God. Until a man begins to fear God, he hadn't even begun to be wise. He may be a great philosopher, great debater, a great mind as far as the world is concerned. He hadn't even begun to be wise. He doesn't fear his maker. He doesn't fear God. He doesn't know what this world's all about. Doesn't know why he's here. He doesn't fear God. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is to part from evil. Two things now. I'm talking to you right now. There's other things, but two things. Number one, to fear God is the beginning of wisdom. You haven't begun to be wise till you learn to fear God. And number two, the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. It says that in the Bible. And I conclude from this that the man who does not depart from evil according to the light God's given him, he don't fear God. Doesn't matter to him what God says. Commandments of God don't matter, make no difference. Had no fear of God. Doesn't even have the beginning of wisdom. This is true of the individual. This is true of an educationally advanced nation like the United States of America. Of all the advancements we've made in science and technology, we haven't learned to fear God. We don't know anything. Nothing. Nothing that amounts to anything. Nothing that's lasting. Nothing that's lasting. The Bible says in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, the fool has said in his heart, no God for me. No God for me. No fear of God. I don't fear him. I won't serve him. I don't care what he says. A fool. Now, my message today begins with this sad news, but it ends up in the best news any man ever heard, Christ and Him crucified. But as Scott Richardson and many others have said and written down through the ages, that a man has never heard the good news until he's heard the bad news. John Newton wrote it in his hymn, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And that same grace, my fears relieved. Never learned to fear. You've never learned who Christ is. You've never learned your desperate need of Him. You've never known who He is. This is God's way of saving sinners. I read a man yesterday that no man will ever value the good news until he's heard the bad news. It'll never be good news to him till he sees what he is. See what kind of trouble he's in. The distance, the difference between him and his God. Now I'm going to read to you this morning about Israel a long time ago. But in my mind, as I read this, I'm thinking about the United States of America in 2007. 2007 now. Isaiah 29, read these verses with me, beginning with verse 9. Read them. Let it soak in. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, the living word, which is able to save your souls. It starts out like this. Stay yourself. Oh, hold up. Stop right there. Listen and wonder. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry and keep on crying. This is such a wonder. Such a pitiful thing. They are drunk. Oh, we wonder at a bunch of drunks. But not with wine. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. This is talking about spiritually so. For the Lord, now listen to this. The Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. They're just as blind as bats. They got the Bible in their hand, just as blind as bats. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that's sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot. It's sealed. I don't understand it. And the book is delivered then that to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he says, I'm not learned. I just don't have the education, the knowledge, the understanding. I can't do it. It's sealed. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. He means by that, if I understand it correctly, that their fear was taught by whatever was blowing around in the wind of contemporary religion. They learned it from men. They learned it from some creed, some religious man. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people. Even a marvelous work and a wonder. Something to cause men to marvel and wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish. The understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us? Who knoweth us? Surely their turning of things upside down shall be esteemed in the potter's hand. It shall be esteemed as the potter's hand. For shall the work say to him that made it, he hath made me not? Or shall the thing framed say to him that framed it, he hath no understanding? These are serious, serious, serious verses of Scripture that I want to look at just a few minutes this morning. The Bible says concerning Israel of old, Christ said when he came, he said, you've made the word of God of none effect through your vain traditions. You have taught for the commandments of God, the traditions of men. They worship God, not as he was, but as they imagined him to be. Psalm 50, you think that I'm altogether such a one as yourself. You think I'm like you. And not only did they worship him not as the God of the Bible, but they worship him also not as he commanded, but as they chose. However they chose, that's how they worshiped. They chose their God, they chose their worship. And yet they continue to use the name of God and the same terms that we use in the scriptures here, but with no meaning and no significance. They worshiped. But like the woman in John 4, Christ said, you worship. You worship. But you don't know what. You don't know what you worship. And that applies to so many churches and individuals in our day. They worship. But they don't understand what they're doing. Men receive not the love of the truth. God sends them the truth. They receive not the love of the truth. God sends them delusions, strong delusions, that they believe their lies and perish in their sin. You don't play games with God. You don't play games with God. Those who are blessed of God, and only those who are blessed of God, are those who tremble at His word. They fear the Lord. They fear the Lord. Not fearing the Lord, as we've seen in our evening studies, may offer anything unto God for sacrifice. Changed the form of offering however they chose. They offered the lame, the crippled, the wounded, the sick, and the sore. Offered them unto God for sacrifice. And those sacrifices represented God's Son. And they got upset with God because He didn't bless them as much as they thought He ought to. And they said, your ways are not equal. God said, no, your ways are not equal. Mine are just. Equal and just. They did not fear God. And therefore they did not depart from evil. And God brought terrible judgment upon them. And verse 9 is an amazing, heartbreaking thing. God sent a spiritual stupor upon them. Spiritual stupor. They just feel physically, they're like a drunk staggering down the street. You see that drunk staggering down the street. He doesn't really know where he's going. He don't really care. And he just kind of separated from reality. God sent it upon them in a spiritual way. In a spiritual way. They were as drunken men. No true sense of direction. No true sense of their danger. No true sense of their greatest need in the world. Because there was no true sense of their awful condition before God. They didn't know themselves. Verse 10, their rulers, their leaders, their preachers were spiritually as one in a deep sleep. Now God's describing these leaders. This is what God's done to them. They're just like men that stagger and drunken men that are in a stupor. The seeing eye and the hearing ears of the Lord. And He gave them no eyes to see and no ears to hear and left them in their natural stupor, stupidity. Old drunk walking down the street, he feels happy and secure. That's the way they felt. That's where religion feels today. So happy and secure, singing their songs and being entertained on the way to hell. Spiritual sleepwalkers have no idea what they're doing or where they're going. Slumbering on toward eternal destruction and leading multitudes with them. If the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall into the same deep pit, the bottomless pit. Verse 11 and 12. This is amazing. But it is here, isn't it? It's written here. The true prophets and their words were sealed to these prophets in this day. They heard Isaiah, the wonderful evangelistic prophet, with no effect and no profit. Isaiah cried out, "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" They don't see him. They don't see. They held our traditions above God's truth. So God made his word to become a sealed book to them. He didn't give them understanding. They read it, they studied it, they taught it, but had no understanding. As it is today, both the learned and the unlearned are blind to the glory of the most basic and prominent truth of this book. You listen to me now. You can call it Calvinism. You can call it the doctrine of grace. I just call it scripture truth. The absolute sovereignty of God over all things. Men won't have it. Generally speaking, men won't have it. But there's nothing so plain and clear and true in this book as that. The absolute sovereignty of God over all things. David said, "Why should the heathen say, 'Where now is your God?'" David said, "My God's in the heavens." And if I may paraphrase a bit, just where he's always been. And he does whatever he pleases. In the heavens, in the earth, in the sea, all deep places. Whatever he pleases, that's what he does. Job 23:13. Whatsoever his soul desires. Whatsoever his soul desires. That's exactly what he does, and nothing else. Always, he does what he pleases. Always. He's God. Men won't accept that. And they won't accept the depravity of man, the true condition of man. The Bible said as plainly as you can write, D-E-A-D. And they translate that means somewhat disabled. You just need a little help. But if you're dead, you need life. And life only comes from one source, God. God. God's election of grace, how they fight that. And yet that's the only hope for any man. If God doesn't choose him, draw him, he's doomed forever. God's election of grace. Men hate it. I love it. I love it. God's holiness and justice in his grace in Christ, a just God and a Savior. Present religion knows nothing about these things. Some know it, but they won't dare preach it. They're more interested in the good opinion of men than in the good opinion of God. No fear of God. No fear of God. They're afraid to preach what they know is in the Bible lest they disturb men. No fear of God. They don't care what God thinks. It's just what men think. And Christ made this statement very plain and clear. How can you believe which receive honor one from another and seek not that honor which comes from God only? And that what that means is, how can you ever believe? You can't ever believe. Seek the good opinion of each other, the good opinion of men, and not the good opinion of God. Not the good opinion of God. Verse 13, their religion was merely in externals. It was nothing more than a lip service. They had a form of godliness, but they knew nothing of the power of God in their souls. God said, your heart, you have a lot of lip service, a lot of externals, a lot of do's and don'ts, but your heart's a long way from me. Long way from me. Far from me. Your fear toward me is whatever's blowing in the wind of contemporary religion, whatever's pleasing to the masses, that's where you'll stay. And their instructors, the instructors of these poor people, were in a spiritual stupor as drunken men wandering in their ignorance. Blind, blind, blind to the glory of God. Therefore, in verse 14, I'm going to perform a marvelous wonder on this people. And if I haven't seen this the last week in Washington, D.C., I don't know anything. I'm going to take away the natural wisdom and understanding from your wise men. That's all I'm going to say about politics. Trash. But what we see here is how God hates false religion. How he hates pretense, show, hypocrisy, playing church. And what he does in response. Look at Acts 13 just a moment. I remember the first time this really stuck my heart. Acts 13, verse 26. Men and brethren, Paul's preaching here. Children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, there's that word again, feareth God. To you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they were sealed to them. They have fulfilled these scriptures that they read and are familiar with in crucifying the Son of God. They crucified the Messiah with the Bible in their hand describing just about everything they did to it. They fulfilled those things and crucified the Son of God. And though they found, just a moment, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, They took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher, fulfilling the scriptures. But thank God, according to the scriptures, God raised him up. Religious folks, religious leaders, the Bible teachers, reading about Christ and his coming and the things that would happen to him, all of these things, the miracles he would do, they fulfill those scriptures, which they read every Sabbath. They fulfill those scriptures in bringing those things to pass on the Lord Jesus Christ. The different things they did to him, they were identifying him according to the scriptures. And yet they were blind. The book was sealed. The book was sealed. But nothing wrong with the book, it's their hearts. That's where it is. Christ said concerning these people who were so particular and so precise, so overt and outward in their religion, their externals. He said one thing. He said, clean up the inside of the cup. The outside would be all right. But they just concentrated on the outside. They didn't know the scriptures. They didn't know what sin was. And he said on another occasion, looking these religious leaders right square in the face, he said, the publicans and the harlots are going to enter the kingdom of God before you do. And they felt so safe and secure, the special people of God, the chosen people of God, the blessed people of God. And so it is today. God pronounces no such judgment upon any other sin or playing religion. Is awful. Sinful free will works religion. That's what they had. They were filled with dishonesty and pretense and hypocrisy. No fear of God. No fear of God. Now I tell you who feared the Lord. Those whom Paul said, those more noble, the Bereans. Paul came and preached to them, and they took the scriptures and searched those scriptures every day to find out the Apostle Paul telling them the truth. I want to know the truth. I must know. I have to know the truth. Hebrews 10:13. Let me just give you a few references. It is a fearful thing. He's warning those who would turn away from Christ. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He's a consuming fire. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, the seraphim singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. He saw the glory of God, and he said, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm cut off, I'm lost. He saw the Lord. Never fear him till you see him. Job 42, verses 5 and 6, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And he fell on his face in the dust in self-abhorrence and repentance. I feared the Lord. Daniel, this special servant of God. Chapter 10 and verse 8, all of my goodness I saw the Lord. When I saw the Lord, all of my goodness turned in me into corruption. black spot doesn't show up much on a black sheet. But if you ever see a black spot on a white sheet, it shows up real good. And the only way you'll ever see how black you are is when you see His brightness, His glory, His purity. We don't look so bad to one another. We even sometimes brag on each other a little. But when a man sees God, he knows there's none good but one, and that's God. That's God. None good but Him. One of these days, I want to say this, one of these days, and I'm sure of this, there's no doubt, every man and woman is going to bow before God and fear God. Fear God. Fear God. They don't fear Him now. They don't have time for Him. They just treat Him anyway, say anything about Him. But one of these days. Look at Revelation 15 just a moment. Revelation 15. Verse 1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name. They were standing on that sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of the Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. You know who that, they're talking about? Christ. Lord God Almighty. And now He's a wimpy little Jesus, but oh, wait till that day. Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. And all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. One of these days, every man is going to learn the fear of the Lord. With some, it'll be too late to profit the many, to benefit the many, but they will learn and they'll glorify God. They'll glorify God. Turn to Revelation chapter 6 just a moment. This same day, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, mighty men, every bondman, every free man, they hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. They knew this wasn't an earthquake, not merely a freak happening of nature. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of Him. They knew who did this. The Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation 1, God said, I'm going to give it to you to roll up this old earth. That's a scroll. Cast it away. It's an unclean garment. When Christ comes, when He reveals Himself, when He manifests Himself, everybody know who He is. Everybody. Everybody. And they said to the mountains, fall on us. hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. Today they won't even acknowledge that he's sitting on the throne. Most Baptists especially, they think that's someplace down in the future. He's sitting on the throne right now. Acts chapter 2, on the throne of David. And from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. And who in the world will be able to stand? Only those who are standing on a rock, in the cliff of the rock, Christ Jesus. Standing in Christ, the crucified Christ. Every man one day is going to learn the fear of the Lord. Some to their everlasting shame, destruction. But some in grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say this to you believers, if Christ is everything to you now, to see him as he is will be heaven and glory. Heaven and glory. Happiness and bliss. If he's everything to you now. What do I mean by everything? I mean that I don't have anything but sin. All of my righteousnesses are just a pile of filthy rags in God's sight. And Christ is my all and in all. He suffered for my sins. He clothed me in the garment of salvation, his righteousness. All of my trust, all of my hope, he's everything. He's not only the Savior, he is himself our salvation. He is himself our salvation. Psalm 130. Says there is forgiveness with thee. If thou should mark iniquities, who could stand? Nobody. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Spurgeon once said, he said, if it's all kind of different roads to London, you don't have to worry about it. You just take whichever road you choose. All kinds of roads and ways to heaven, just pick one, tear out. But if there's only one way, you better be careful. You better be careful. You better be careful. There's forgiveness in one place, in one person, and you better be careful you don't miss him. You better fear. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And I want to emphasize this just briefly. The Apostle Paul, let me say that Christianity is a personal thing. Personal. Me, Christ, Christ, me. It's a personal thing. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Now, who is this whom? He is Almighty God, stooped down to become a man, to take our name and stand in our place before God and answer all of God's holy demands. And he's able to save and is saving to the uttermost all that come to God by him, all of his people. Sinners. Sinners. Who is he? He's that gloriously unique God-man, the only Savior. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Don't play games with God. He's the only way. He's a just God and a Savior. He's a just God and a Savior. I know whom I have believed. And he said, knowing who he is, not just I know about some things about him, I know him. Intimate fellowship. I know whom. And I'm knowing him, I'm persuaded. And knowing who he is, what he is, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And I know it. It's a personal trust. It's trust in him. We understand what he did, some of it, best we can. But our faith is in him. Look at Acts 26. Acts chapter 26. Paul's talking about what happened to him. And God said to this messenger, he said, verse 16, rise, stand up on your feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Now notice this verse. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, by faith that is in Christ. We trust a person. We know whom. We know him. We trust him. And we're persuaded that's a good trust. We'll never be disappointed. And we know these things. And we fear the Lord, not man. We're like Moses standing there before the sea, or back applying even earlier than that. He said, Moses didn't fear the king. Mighty Pharaoh. Moses walked right up to him, dressed like an old poor shepherd, walked right up to him and said, God said, let my people go. Well, who are you? Who's your God? It doesn't matter. God said, let them go. And he said, he didn't fear the king because he saw him who is invisible. He saw God. He knew God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Pharaoh? No. Little old Pharaoh, he's nothing. Moses said, you all stand still, just be quiet, keep your mouth shut. And behold, the salvation of the Lord. And they did, and they did. They sure did. We fear the Lord, not men. We seek his favor, not the favor of men. We seek the good opinion of God, not the good opinion of man. We've learned to fear the Lord. We fear his word. We tremble at his word. We don't play with his word. And those who do have never learned anything yet as they ought to learn. We live in a day, if we do, when men are religious leaders are as men in a stupor. They see everything but the right things and do everything but the right things. And let us be ever thankful and oh so thankful that God stopped at our house and opened our eyes. That we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We found it. It came upon us. We found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I'm so thankful for each of you and that we have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let us be ever thankful. Okay, David.